thought we'd do it a little reverse.
Okay.
Just read a little from Brihat Bhagavatam Gita. Inspiration. Bhagavatam's inspiration. This is also
essence of inspiration.
Detailed description of what it means to go back to Godhead. Here the setting is actually that Gopakumar is actually Dwarka. And Narada Muni suggests that they go to, this is in the spiritual world, Dwarka, and he suggests that he goes to Purushottam Kshetra, but Uddhava says, well, better he just goes, comes back to earth, to Vrindavan, and the discussion which preceded this, which was very interesting and important, was that they're talking about the one overriding qualification for attaining Braj. And this was already, of course, Gopakumar was already an extraordinary devotee, and he already possessed love.
Nagyon
megszeretett meg. Krishna in different forms. And that was humility. But a very special type of humility. Without which you can't go to Vrindavan. And so I'll just read the end of this chapter, so it's very interesting. So Uddhava is telling him, he said, if you're going anywhere else, the proper thing would be to take permission from the Lord.
But
that land, namely Vrindavan, is most dear to him. Not even by direct service to the Lord here in Dwarka does the arise that firmly develops if one merely lives in the land of Braj. In other words, you can't attain the same result of being in Dwarka as you can by living in
Vrindavan.
This is therefore, I spent a long time in Brajabhumi,
for 8 months,
on the pretext of consoling the Lord's dear devotees who live there with nothing left but their lives. I'm sure my Lord already knows of your powerful desire, so he'll personally bring you
In the commentary,
Sanatana Goswami says, with his eyes closed, Gopakumar couldn't see who was carrying him. Had he seen that it was Krishna taking him to earth to leave him in Golokula, he would have never been able to give up the company of the Lord in Dwarka.
So Krishna brought him back to earth.
And then the next chapter starts. So now he's in his grove. Following Narada's instructions here in Braj, I went to see the many places of Krishna's pastimes, in other words, his parikrama. I sang his names most dear to me, I sang about his pastimes loudly and sweetly. I focused my mind upon them and attained such a state of ecstasy and became so emotional that it embarrasses me even to think of it. How then can I describe this kind of one? I spent my days and nights in great distress, always crying in a pitiful voice, not knowing whether the practice I had so long been following would lead me to happiness or cast me into an ocean of distress. I couldn't tell whether I was living in the flames of the forest fire or in the supreme nectar of the clear, cool waters of Sri Jamuna. This was the influence of the effect developing love for God. We talk about it, and Sanatana Goswami is explaining it a little. Sometimes I thought I had fallen into the hands of some great deceiver. I was always submerged in a vast ocean of misery. Not even a drop of happiness ever touched
me.
In such a way, just in case I had this idea that love of God is just some status, eternal euphoria. In such a way, I lived in this grove, this most attractive ornament of Vrindavan, and one day, while immersed in an ocean of weeping, I fell unconscious. Then, the crest jewel of all who are merciful appeared before me with his own lotus hand, a hand cool like nectar and always pleased to hold his food. He wiped the dust from his limbs. So then Krishna finally appeared to him. This is the first time he actually gets
burned,
although he's seen every other form of Krishna. He's never seen It wasn't easy, but that greatest of cheats playfully stirred me back to consciousness by filling my nostril with his unique heady fragrances, which I had never known before. And I'm skipping Sanatana Goswami's
comment.
I wouldn't be able to get there. Then seeing his lotus face, I quickly stood up, not knowing what I was doing. My heart filled with joy, I tried to catch hold of his splendid yellow cloth. So he finally saw Krishna and he tried to catch him. That king of charming heroes blew his flute in his own playful way and escaped behind me. Suddenly he stepped into a grove, and alas, although I ran about looking, I couldn't find him. So he saw Krishna. And then Krishna disappeared. He had disappeared. Unable to see him, I fainted and fell into the swift current of the Jamuna. And as it forcefully carried me away, I seemed to regain normal awareness and looked around. So that I fell into the river. The river just carried him away. But then, he says, I saw myself being transported to another place along some wonderful path by a vehicle flying faster than the mind and higher than one can imagine. Collecting my wits, I was amazed to see I was passing through Vaikuntha Loka, he was seeing all the planets, and going beyond, I watched with great delight as I passed Ayodhya and other realms. I arrived at the shining world above all others, Sri Goloka, which I had long aspired to reach. This is everything there appeared the same as in this divine Mathura Mandala of the material world. A little different than here. You could imagine this was here like 500 years ago. In that original land of Mathura, I visited Mathura city. I was surprised and happy to see that it resembled Mathura here on earth. In that original Mathura, I heard that Kamsa had taken it upon himself to arrest his father and Krishna's parents, Devaki and Vasudeva, and was ruling the kingdom. So same thing you're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamsa is taking over Mathura in the spiritual world. Out of fear of Kamsa, whose family and friends were enemies of the demigods, the Yadavas dared not enjoy themselves freely. Because of him, they constantly suffered all sorts of affliction. Some of the Yadavas escaped elsewhere, and others took shelter of him. I too was afraid of Kamsa, so as soon as I finished bathing at Vishramgat, I heard they left Mathura and went to glorious Vrindavan. So it's just 12 kilometers and he just went to Vrindavan. In that realm, beyond the reach of the demigods, planetary rulers, and personal attendants, I saw that life was going on, just as here in this Aryavrata country in Bharatvarsha on earth. The sun was rising, and other natural events were taking place every day in the sky. And on the land, the people were speaking and behaving in the same way as here.
Az emberek ugyanúgy viselkedtek, beszéltek, mint a Földön.
Extreme astonishment. And immersed in an ocean of ecstatic rasa. After a few moments, I saw some men who might have been cowherds wandering in the forest with some ladies advanced in years and also wearing cowherd dress who were picking flowers. These were older cowherd men and gopis. The people there were different from anyone I had ever seen. Some had appeared and stolen the wealth of their hearts and left them helplessly in love with him. Simply by seeing them, I felt the same kind of loving affection. Trying hard, I composed myself and respectfully asked them the following questions.
So we saw
these gopas and gopis, and they were like wandering around like zombies. As if someone had actually stolen their minds. Just by seeing them, Gopkumar became very much overwhelmed with love.
So he asked, O good people, you
are served by a happiness so vast that the greatest sages can't attain it even in dreams. You are the reservoirs of the mercy of the Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, mercy for which his loving devotees always pray. Please, please look with kindness upon this most wretched person who's come to you for shelter. Tell me, who is the king of this region? Where is his residence? Which road leads there? So he keeps asking the questions, I'm just moving on. In this way, I moved here and there, anxiously questioning each person I met. And as I made my way forward, I came to the pasturing grounds of the cowherds. And he keeps asking them questions because they just ignore respond to him. Looking around in all directions, I spotted in the distance a town adorned with the essence of all sweetness. On one side of the town, all about, I heard wonderful songs sung by cowherd women and the charming sound of the churning butter and the jingling of bangles. Trying to subdue my agitated joy, I walked forward and came across a seated elderly gentleman sobbing profusely. So he came across an old cowherd man who was sitting there incessantly chanting Krishna Krishna. With some skillful effort, I made him speak, and I heard him say in a choked voice that this town belonged to Nanda, the king of the cowherds, Sri Krishna's father. As soon as I heard these words, I fainted, overcome with delight. After a moment, that compassionate old man revived me, and I ran ahead and approached the gateway of the town and sat there in the gate. So he saw this is underground, and then he ran there, he went to the gate, and then he sat down. And there I saw by the hundreds of thousands and tens of millions all sorts of wonders, unseen, unheard of, unimaginable by anyone of this world. O best of Brahmins, I couldn't discern whether the people there were all enjoying the highest bliss or suffering in the grip of a terrible misery. I heard the gopi songs, coupled with their crying, but were they the songs of greatest contentment or the greatest sorrow? A person seeing that place might think he was in the material world, but by careful reflecting on whatever he had seen before, he would understand he was now somewhere above all material planets, all higher non-planetary regions, and all the transcendental realms of the spiritual world. So it looks just like the material world. But if you start to analyze it, then you start to see that it's beyond Vaikuntha, or to speak of any other place. Then an elderly lady came by. I bowed down to her and asked in a plaintive voice where Sri Nandanandan was playing today. The elderly lady said, "This morning that giver of life to us, Vrijvasis, went into the dense forest to play with his cows and friends and his respected elder brother. Later at dusk he will return." All the Vrijvasis are waiting on this path along the Jamuna, their eyes transfixed on the road. These trees stand with leaves erect, eagerly awaiting the chance to see him. Surely he will come along this path. Sri Gopumar said, as if anointed by a downpour of the purest nectar, I gazed with one-pointed attention down the path the old lady had pointed out. The sheer force of my ecstasy had frozen my thighs, but with some effort I moved on, and I heard from afar a certain sound. Mixed with the mooing of cows, it was the supremely attractive murmur of Krishna's enchanting flute. That sound, sweet melodies of sportingly played notes, diverse with musical embellishments, was like nothing ever heard in the material world. Its attractive force at once overwhelmed everyone in the cowherd village. So now from afar he hears cows and there's this big dust cloud, and here's the sound of this flute. By the power of that sound, sap flowed in a downpour from the long rows of trees. A flood of tears fell from the eyes of every embodied being in the village of the cowherds. A shower of milk rained from the breasts of all Krishna's mothers. Even the elderly in the rapid currents of the Jamuna suddenly stood still. I didn't know whether that flute gave out poison or the nectar of immortality, whether its sound was harsh like thunder or soft like water, hotter than blazing fire or cooler than the moon. I couldn't tell. But that sound drove all the Vrijvasis mad. All of them were utterly bewildered. So then, he's describing how different people come out, either they're already out, or they come out from their homes, everyone's moving forward towards that same sound because they can all hear it. And Gopkumar says, "I too went forward, as if pulled by someone, joining the throngs of gopis rushing forward on all sides. I too began to run quickly." She says, "Then from a distance I saw him, charming flute in hand, running quickly. He emerged from among his friends and animals and approached me, saying in a sweet voice, 'Look, Sridhan, here's my dear friend Sarupa, the sun who shines on the lotus of your family.'" Up to now his name is Gopkumar. Krishna now points out that his name is Sarupa. And he's part of Sridhan or Srimati Radharani's family. Krishna was dressed for the forest. His garments, earrings, and peacock feather crown all swayed to and fro, and so did his garland of kadamba flowers. His fragrance perfumed all directions, and his beautiful lotus face blossomed with a playful smile. His lotus eyes beamed with a merciful glance, and the varied assets of beauty decorated him in a singular way. The fingers of his lotus hands busily pushed back the locks of his hair, which flew about, adorned with the dust raised by the cows. His tender divine lotus feet touched the surface of the earth just to grant her the gift of supreme splendor. Playfully dancing as they moved, they attracted everyone's heart with a great eagerness to walk quickly with large steps. The effulgence of his cloud-colored body, shining with the full sweetness of youth, lit up all corners of the sky. His beauty, which captured the hearts of the ever-dear devotees of Braj, was an ocean abounding with countless excellences. So this was a description of what Krishna looks like. He leaped forward and came close to me, compelled by the affection of his helpless devotee. I fainted at love at seeing him. He caught hold of me by the neck And suddenly he too fell to the ground.
És ő is elájult.
Now it's Sarupa. Sarupa fainted, and Krishna also embraced him, and he also fainted. But then, a moment later, I reawoke and carefully freed my neck from his grasp. I stood up and saw him on the ground in a faint, moistening the dust-covered path with his tears. So Krishna had fainted, and he was still fainted from meeting Gop Kumar. Some gopis came, now the others arrived. Look, who has come here? What has he done? He has put our life and soul into such a state. Alas, alas.
Just see,
now we are all dead. So now all kinds of people are coming around and they see Krishna's laying on the ground. This must be some servant of the great wizard Kamsa. Lamenting like this in many ways, the gopis cried aloud in distress as they surrounded Krishna. Then from behind Krishna, several groups of cowherds quickly approached. Seeing Krishna in such a state, they cried with pitiful voices. From far away in the village, Nanda and the other elder cowherds came, heard this terrible sound of crying, so too did Yashoda, and so did the other elderly ladies and maidservants, and they all came running.
Nanda
Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, then the cows and the bulls and the calves came there. So everyone's crowding around, humans and animals, a black deer and other animals. And seeing Krishna in that state, they wept in agony. The animals, all crying out in love, their faces drenched with the floods of tears, approached Krishna one by one and gently smelled and licked him again and again. Great numbers of birds flying overhead told also of their misery by making a tumultuous noise that sounded like people crying. And then the inner creatures and great pain within seemed suddenly to dry up. What more is there to say? All beings moving and non-moving were on the verge of death. So everyone was in a crisis because they didn't know what happened to Krishna. As for me, I was drowning in a vast ocean of sorrow. Confused about what to do, severely tormented, I put Krishna's feet on my head and began profusely sobbing and lamenting. Then Lord Balabhadra, Krishna's older brother, quickly arrived from some distance away, full of fear. White complexion and arrayed in blue garments, he appeared charming, for he was the same age as Krishna and nicely dressed. Lord Balabhadra, that most skillful person, cried for a moment, but then seemed to regain his composure and looked around. With great care and attention, he made me hold his younger brother by the neck with my arms. So then Lord Balabhadra was telling him what to do. He wiped Krishna's beautiful limbs clean with my hands. Lord Balabhadra was taking Sarupa's hand and is wiping Krishna, and made me loudly call out to him with many plaintive cries. Then he made me lift Krishna up from the ground. So Balaram made Sarupa do all these things. Suddenly Krishna opened his eyes, sealed till then by a flood of tears. Seeing me, he joyfully embraced and kissed me. But then he looked around and became embarrassed.
He looked and saw Sarupa,
and he kissed him, but then he saw everyone else around him and became embarrassed. That best of lords took my hand in his own left lotus hand, his right hand in Krishna's left hand, and received me as a long-lost bosom friend. He asked me various questions, then he greeted all the people of Braj and entered the best of cowherd villages with a gate and an elephant.
And then it continues what happens.
So that's just briefly sort of entering or going back to Godhead. We talk about going back to Godhead, love of God. And Sanatana Goswami writes about that. One very interesting thing is that qualities to think about is just exactly the unique feature of Vrindavan. For instance, this idea that Krishna is the center of everything that we do. Also, False ego has a difficulty with that. Why Krishna? Why Krishna? Why not me? One of the reasons why we're here. But when you know that Krishna is God, then when we're talking about all these other realms and so on, then the answer is sort of quite easy because he's God. And there's only one. So that's why it's not you.
És ezért nem te vagy az.
But this is a little different.
És ez most itt
here he's not God.
Különbözik, mert here itt he's just like Isten, you. Hanem he's itt like csak everybody pont olyan, else. Olyan, mint mindenki más.
Except that he happens to be csak special in some annyi, special ways.
Persze, egy különleges,
that you're a cowherd and he's a cowherd and you're human and he's a human. And God is somewhere in the temple.
Where they run and where they worship.
So that's why it requires a very special type of humility. Otherwise, even those who may worship him because he's God,
could just worship him
as a person,
mert hogy nem azért kell
and that everyone is so
Isten,
obsessed with Krishna,
csak azért, mert,
just because
mert,
of his sweetness and his beauty and so on, but other than that, that he's just he's like everybody else, that you have to have that special type of humility, otherwise
it doesn't work.
So, anyway,
hogy erre eljussunk.
Going back to Godhead
and Istenhez viszünk,
practicing, cultivating
humility, az
which on one side generally we refer to as interacting with other people,
azt jelenti, hogy hogyan,
but actually
hogyan
it also begins by being free of our own egocentric nature,
az otherwise
it becomes false.
Mert akkor az ego amikor csak azért vagyunk alázatosak, mert hogy a saját hangoságunkat akarjuk
erősíteni. Of Sankirtan or book
distribution. You can't be egocentric.
The only way it works is when you give up the me. And ultimately that's what Krishna consciousness means. Krishna says sarvadharma, you have to give up this dharma of me. Because ultimately all these dharmas are centered around me. And give up that me and mami. And that it's just Krishna.
Akkor
jön
Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Srila Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada ki jaya. Okay.
Nagyon sajnos.
Nagyon sajnos.